Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
I started ministering on this a couple of weeks ago in the morning service, and I hadn't had a chance to in the evening service. So if you were in the morning that day, I'm just going to continue a little bit in this vein, and I really trust it's going to bless us. So when we were praying before the service, and we normally pray at 4:30, and it's really a blessed time. I really encourage you. It's not only for people that are on duty. You're very welcome to join us at 4:30 in the afternoons on Sundays here. And also we have prayer, for those of you who don't know, we have prayer happening weekly in different parts of the city, normally in the mornings, but even in a lot of them are on Thursdays, but they're different times as well. So if you want to join one of those prayer meetings just to intercede with us, especially in these coming times, it's really important for us to be praying. So have a look on the announcement email right at the bottom, and there's some details there about the prayer groups. Okay, but let's pray. Okay, so what I was going to say, actually, sorry, before we do that. What I was going to say is that when we were praying this afternoon, I really felt that we need to trust God just to take thoughts captive this evening, to really be present in terms of what He wants to do. So I just want us to take a moment just to be quiet, to be still, to know that He is God, to quieten our thoughts. There's often lots going on. To just declare that, Lord, I trust You with all this stuff that's keeping my thoughts busy. Let's just close our eyes. God, yeah, we bring our thoughts before You, we bring our hearts before You in the name of Jesus. We thank You that You are King. We thank You that You are Lord of all. And right now we take every thought captive. Just pray after me. Lord Jesus, right now I take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And I thank You that You are my Prince of Peace. I thank You that I can speak peace now over my heart and mind in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Cool. So now I'll pray for the word. Lord, we thank You that You are with us. We thank You, God, that You have made a new and living way for us to boldly come into Your presence, Lord, that You've torn the veil, Lord, that we can run to You and into Your presence with boldness and without any fear, God. And we thank You that this evening we can draw near to You with a confidence that Your promise is that as we draw near, that You draw near to us, Lord. With a confidence that You are true to Your word. With a confidence, Lord, that You, by Your Spirit, lead us into all truth, God. Ask, Lord, this evening that Your kingdom will come in and through our lives for Your glory, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to read from Psalms 23. Just a little bit there, 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And this is one of my favorite pictures of God the Father, Him being our shepherd. And now, I've mentioned this once or twice, but in South Africa, that often doesn't make sense so nice. It's a bit of when God calls us sheep, you know, I don't know if I should be offended or disappointed, you know, because sheep aren't really clever animals. I don't know if you've worked with sheep. But maybe, I think the Middle Eastern sheep are cleverer. So I'm hoping that's the kind of sheep. Because in the Middle East, it works a bit differently. They don't have like dogs and stuff chasing or herding the sheep. In the time that we're talking about here, every sheep, every group of, every herd of sheep, they knew their shepherd's voice. And the scripture says that we as his sheep, we know his voice. And the picture there is, was not the one of being chased or anything, but the shepherd would walk in front and the sheep would, even amongst other sheep and other herds and other shepherds going this way and that way, they would be able to recognize their shepherd's voice. He would start singing or whistling or whatever, do his thing. And they would recognize his voice and follow him in whichever direction he would go. And it's different to being chased. Are you with me? It's different to being kind of herded than to follow the shepherd because you know his voice. And as I was praying around this, I felt that maybe that's for somebody here, that there's often an assignment to make us doubt whether we really hear his voice. And I remember as a young believer and even later on wrestling with, is it real? Do I really hear him? And I just felt God wants to just want to bless you and just affirm you this evening that he says, my sheep hear my voice. And if you're wrestling with that thing, know that he's given you everything you need to hear him. Amen? And if there's anything telling you you can't hear him or there's, that you mishear him often, well, that is possible. But don't receive the lie that wants to say you can't hear him. Amen? And if that's you this evening, I'd like to pray with you afterwards. So please remember at the end, we hear his voice. We can practice recognizing his voice, right? That's important. Practice hearing him. Practice obeying what he's telling us. I found that the more I boldly step out in terms of those little things that I hear, the more tuned in I am to hear his voice in general. Okay. So we hear his voice, these sheep hear his voice, that we follow him. He leads us, he directs us as our shepherd, he protects us. He sometimes has to, you know, if we do kind of wander off on our own direction, he has to get us back on the right path. Beautiful picture of the shepherd. The shepherd leading us beside still waters. Place where we can find nourishment, place where we can find refreshment. Beautiful picture. But this evening, I would just stand still for a moment at a how. What are the ways? One of the ways that he leads us to a place where we are restored, where our souls are restored, to a place where we can receive refreshment and restoration and healing. One of the ways that he brings us to a place of quiet waters and green pastures. Okay, so I want to read it from Acts chapter 3. Sorry, this thing is messed up. Okay, Acts chapter 3. You got it already. Verse 19. Okay. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now, just for a moment, let's stand still at the word repentance. Now, often, I think so, many of us have a negative connotation with this concept of repentance. So let's look at a moment at the word. The word repentance is metanoia. It speaks of a change of mind, a change of thought, change of thinking about something in a drastic way that leads to a change in action. So metanoia, same word, the root word for metamorphosis, complete transformation, right? So if you're walking in one direction, you're doing things one way, you're thinking about something one way, and then there's a 180-degree change, and you recognize this is the wrong way of thinking and doing, and there's a transformation, a change that happens. I'm thinking about it differently, and therefore I'm doing differently. I'm living differently. Are you with me? So there's a change that happens there, a transformation, 180-degree turnaround. Sometimes guys say, no, it's 360. It's not 360, okay? 180 is good enough, okay? 180-degree turnaround, a complete transformation that happens. And often, especially when we're coming from a conservative church background or more legalistic church background, we have this weird thing around repentance. And also the beginning part of repentance is the confessing part. And I just feel God wants us to speak into that thing. Because how many of us here have come from a place where the thought of repentance and confession is linked to shame and guilt, amen, and condemnation and fear of rejection? And I come from that side. I remember a time where I was afraid to approach God. I was ashamed to confess my sin. I was afraid to confess my sin before anybody else or God, for that matter. I was hesitant to repent and confess and repent because of my shame, because of fear, because of condemnation. And, you know, it's that whole thing of the enemy trying to convince us that this time I've gone too far. This time I've pushed the grace of God. I've just pushed it too far this time. And I've pushed it. The enemy tries to convince us that I've pushed it beyond the place where we can receive forgiveness. And he wants to bring in our heart a fear that God is going to reject me this time around. And because I've pushed it so far, or because I've struggled with the same thing, or if there's this thing from the past that just keeps on bugging me, I have this fear in my heart. When is the day going to come that God's going to say, no, this is it now. This is too far now. I can't forgive you anymore. There's probably nobody else, but you know, I remember wrestling with this thing. So I just want to speak into that area now. That repentance, when we're coming from firstly recognizing that the reason why we are able to boldly come to God in repentance is because of the blood of Jesus. Okay? Because of the fact that He has prepared, He's opened the way, He's torn the veil that would separate people from His holiness and His presence. And He said, by the blood of Jesus Christ, you can boldly come to me just as you are. You can confess, you can bring your sins up into the open, you can repent of your sin, and your sins will be blotted out, as Scripture says here. There's no shame there. There's no condemnation when we're in Christ. A picture that I once heard of somebody describing how he saw this picture of when he came to salvation is he used to play an Australian version of rugby, I think some kind of football, and they've got all kinds of interesting versions of Aussie rules and all kinds of stuff happening, interesting stuff. But I don't know if you can relate, but if you've played sports in a muddy environment and it's a contact sport and you've been in contact with others and with the mud, you come off the field and you don't look the same. Your mother kind of walks past you in the parking lot and you're like, so you're full of mud and you kind of have to, if you have a bucky or something, you have to sit in the back on the way home because they have to just hose you down before you're allowed in the house, type of thing. But he says, you know, he remembers the picture of him standing in the shower after a game like that, and Lord showed him that just as that water just kind of washing down over him and just all the mud just flowing down and into the drain, is the same way that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin and transforms us from this muddy mess, this sinful, muddy mess, to a place where we are clean, whole, and holy before Him. Isn't that amazing? So the concept of shame in terms of and ashamed, being ashamed, and that condemnation around repentance is something we need to trust God to be delivered from. Amen? Trust God to be free from. I want us to think about it a little bit differently. So the part in terms of confession, it's very important. So the confession bit comes before the repentance. I first say, this is it, this is what I've done, or this is where I've come from, this is what I've been struggling with. Lord, I confess my sin. Scripture actually says we should confess our sins before one another. Whoa, that's hectic. But guys, think of it like this. Think of it like you've been carrying a 50-kilo bag of cement. I've been carrying stuff like that around for the last couple of days, doing renovations and stuff. And you notice it, okay, when you're carrying a 50-kilo bag of cement. Okay, there's some guys here probably that won't notice it so badly. But I'm noticing it a bit more now. I'm not as fit as I used to be. But imagine there's this thing weighing on your shoulders, like a heavy weight, a 50 kg. I remember the days when I used to do hikes with friends, and we used to not follow the rules of logic in terms of the weight of your pack. Okay? I think it's supposed to be like 1/3 of your body weight. We went like, nah, make it three quarters. You know, we are just crazy. You know, you're packing cokes, and you know, I'm talking about 5-day hikes, guys. I'm not saying a stroll in the park. Okay. So anyway, so you imagine this big weight that you're carrying, and confession, as the first part of repentance, is coming to Christ and taking this weight off and dumping it at the cross. And you get that feeling, and especially in terms of a hike, if you walk the whole day, 8 or 10 hours with this weight, there's an incredible place where you kind of fall on your back and you just kind of loosen yourself out and you stand up and you feel amazing. Amen? That's what confession is like. It's not a shameful business. It's not full of condemnation. It's not. There's no fear. There's supposed to be no fear there. There's just, Lord, I've got this thing that I'm carrying, and I don't want to carry it anymore. Amen. I lay it down at the cross, this weight of sin that has been weighing me down. I confess it. I throw it down. Sometimes at the hike, you throw down your pack. There's this place where we recognize it for what it is. This thing is weighing me down. It's slowing me down. It's keeping me from what God has for me. It's keeping me from running with what God has prepared for me. And I have had enough. Amen? And I choose to throw it down at the cross. And there's this lightness in my step. That's what confession and repentance is about, is bringing something into the light. So I want to just speak into your minds and thoughts just now that there's no more condemnation when we are in Christ Jesus. There's no more shame. There's no more fear of rejection because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He has paid. He has taken that rejection. Most profound moment around the cross. One of the most profound moments for me is the place where the Father turns his back on the Son. That one moment in history where the Father does not hear, he turns away with all of our sin and all of our shame and all of our rejection and all of our fear is upon Christ. And the Father turns away. He was rejected so that we don't have to be. Amen? He has taken that price. He's taken that weight of sin. He's taken that curse so that we don't have to carry it. This is good news, guys. Amen. Woo! We'll get there. Amen. Okay. So, instead of the problem with when there's shame and condemnation and guilt and that stuff in the mix is we don't do the confession bit. And it's funny, sometimes we even think somehow God won't know. I just carry on. Somehow I don't want to talk to God about this thing. And we're heavy in denial. I'm not talking about the river up there in Africa. I'm talking about you like choose not to believe that God knows exactly what's going on, okay? So somehow we don't walk in confession, we don't walk in the light. And what happens, guys, is we come into a vicious cycle. So I'm carrying this weight. I'm heavily laden with sin and then guilt on top of that and then condemnation and then everything else. And because I'm not confessing and I'm not repenting, it just piles on. I'm going around in circles, and then and the next time around it happens again, and just the weights just get more. They don't get less. And we get into this cycle of even isolation. I don't want to go to small group anymore. I don't even want to go to church because I'm struggling. I have a fear that if I bring this before God, I've just pushed it too far. He's not going to be able to forgive me. And that is a lie from the pit. Amen. So there's this cycle that we need to break. There's a place where you decide, this is enough. I've had enough. Christ has carried this for me. I want to throw it down. I want to cast off every care. I want to throw down every weight of sin. So that's how we break out of that vicious cycle, as we choose. And it's such a powerful thing to choose life. This morning, the guys ministered to us. We had a children's service. It was really fun. We spoke about choices, making decisions. If you look at the account of Jesus ministering to the man that was possessed by a legion of demons, thousands. He'd been running around, he'd been doing crazy stuff, cutting himself. The guys chained him down and he broke the chains. He was just crazy. He was living out there on his own amongst tombstones and stuff, and people wouldn't get near him because he was so wild. But when Jesus came into his situation, he was able to choose to enact his will against all those demons and run to the feet of Jesus. Even with a legion of demons. Maybe you feel you got a couple here this evening. You're in good company. We all have to wrestle through that stuff, guys. But he was able to choose to run to Jesus. To say, Lord, deliver me. No matter what we're facing, that is the most powerful thing that we have, is to choose life. To choose to throw off that weight. To choose to run to the feet of Jesus. Amen. Let's have a look here. Quickly at Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. It sounds like an oxymoron. It sounds like a contradiction. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The law is perfect, refreshing the soul. And it's meant to, the law, Scripture says, is like a tutor. It shows us, like a mirror, showing us where we're at. Showing us who we are, and that we are in desperate need of the saving and sustaining grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of the law, is to show us, oh my goodness, this is not good. But the powerful thing here is meant to bring refreshing. It's not meant to bring fear and condemnation and shame and guilt. It's meant to let us come face to face with the reality that I need the grace of God. I need Jesus. I need His saving grace. I need His forgiveness. So that as we read before, so that times of refreshing may come in the presence of God. So before the times of refreshing can come, we need to throw off the weights. We need to look at the law and realize, I cannot continue like this. I want to throw off the weights, and I want to come into the place of times of refreshing in the presence of God. Are you with me this evening? Okay. Let's look at the next scripture here. Romans chapter 2. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God
leads you to repentance. It's not fear, guys. It's not shame and guilt. It's not that stuff that keeps piling on. That's not really what leads us to repentance. It's when we taste the goodness of God. So what I want to say is, when you find yourself in a struggle and a wrestle with sin, with circumstance, whatever it is, don't lose sight of the goodness of God. Don't lose sight of His presence in your life. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. It starts with the little things, guys. It starts with acknowledging His goodness in our lives on a daily basis. I found that if I'm living from a space of thanksgiving, I'm living from a place of praise and just being overwhelmed and being in awe of His goodness in my life on a daily basis, it just makes it so much easier just to throw off the weight because His goodness brings me to that place. We've got it upside down. We think if I feel ashamed enough or if I feel condemned enough, then I'm going to be crawling to Jesus. No. It's His goodness. And we need to taste and see that He's good. Are you still with me? His goodness leads us to repentance. James 4, verse 6. But He gives more grace. Therefore He says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Guys, there's a big role that this pride thing plays in this process. And I know you guys all look very humble to me. But maybe it's confession. Guys, this is something I wrestle with. I have to humble myself before God. Pride is a thing that sneaks in. It's part of our fabric, our fallen nature. And we need to address it. We need to deliberately, proactively address pride in our lives. If you're walking in this cycle of shame and guilt and sin and weight and stuff weighing you down, I want to humbly submit to you that you need to humble yourself first. To acknowledge that you and I need the grace of God. Amen. And this scripture is a bit of a scary one always to me, because there's another translation where it says that God goes to war against the proud. Guys, that's not a good scenario in my mind. It's not good. God goes to war against the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And the scripture says that you should humble yourself in the sight of the Almighty God. And guys, there's a key there. It says humble yourself. And now, if you've ever prayed, Lord, please humble me, that's a good prayer, but it's a dangerous one, guys. I just want to throw that out there. If Scripture says, rather humble yourself, okay? If you humble yourself, then God doesn't have to humble you, because that can be a very painful scenario. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm just saying, if you found yourself in weird situations lately where you've been humbled in public, maybe just throw your mind back. Did I ever pray that prayer? Okay, I'm just saying. But guys, jokes aside, that's such a powerful place where we walk in humility before the Almighty God. We recognize that in order for me to receive His grace, I need to humble myself. Say, Lord, I am a sinner. I cannot. And guys, I want to throw something in here. Sometimes the enemy catches us with the sly one. For instance, you've been serving the Lord for a while. You're a mature Christian to a certain extent. There's something that comes in that makes us think, but surely by now I should have this stuff down. Surely by now I should have dealt with this anger thing, or I would have. And then we start depending again on our own strength and our own ability to be able to break free of stuff that is still having a hold on our lives. And what happens is pride comes in. I've been a Christian now for, what, We know whatever the scenario, 5 years, or you think, I've been a Christian now for this time now, and surely the enemy whispers this thing in your ear. Surely you should have had this anger thing down, or you should have had this whatever problem or this sin. And you think, oh, you know, I must just work harder at this. This pride comes in. Maybe I can just serve a bit harder. I can just strive a bit more, and you know, I can really overcome this thing. This is a bit embarrassing because I've been in small group now in this small group for 2 years, and I'm one of the more mature guys in the small group, and it's a bit embarrassing now to share this because, you know, I'm supposed to be one of the leading guys in the group. Pride comes in. And you say, no, let me just sort this out. And then I'll share the testimony afterwards. Oh, you see the guys that are laughing, they know what I'm talking about. No. You know, the enemy gets us in a corner and he gets us to think, no, you know what, I can sort this out. I'll sort out myself. I know how to do this thing. I can do this on my own. I don't want to confess this. This is embarrassing. I'm not going to confess. Yeah. Pride sneaks in. And guys, it's not a good place. It's not a good place. Before we can receive His grace, we need to humble ourselves. When you're evangelizing somebody, this is it's a big key, guys. If you're sharing the word with somebody, or you're praying for somebody to be saved, or you're walking a road with your neighbor or classmate or something, colleague, this is a key. If you find that their heart is hard and there's a big barrier of pride, pray into that. Because if they do not humble themselves, they could not receive the grace of God. This Ray Comfort and the guys that put together the Way of the Master evangelism training thing, they say, they have this rule, law to the proud, grace to the humble. And that's scriptural. The law to the proud so that the proud can see, oh my goodness, I'm a sinner. And hopefully humble themselves. But if the person is humble, then there's grace. And if you see that in your own life, rather humble yourself. Amen. Are you with me this evening? Okay, there's at least three guys. Praise the Lord. Let's do a CR. Shake your neighbor. Shake your neighbor and say, are you with me? Okay, in terms of the picture of us being laden, being weighed down with the stuff of the world, the stuff of the past, sin and shame and guilt, it weighs us down. Matthew 11, Matthew 11 from 28, not on there. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. So, again, same picture. Those who are heavy laden, those who are weary with stuff from the world, weary with sin, there's all kinds of yokes. And I want to throw that out there. I trust this evening that many of us will be able to throw off heavy yokes of shame and guilt and condemnation that have been on our shoulders, some we haven't even been aware of. Some we've just gotten so used to, we think this is the way life should be. And this evening, I feel there's a grace to throw off those yokes. I need a volunteer for a moment. Where's Rico? He was here earlier. Did he go? There he is. Come on. Sorry, I suppose that's not volunteering. Eh? That's my definition. So, you guys know what a yoke is? No. You know what a yoke is? She's a bit younger than I thought. You know what a yoke is. Okay, so in the old days, like in your great-grandparents' time, your great-great-great-grandparents' time, some of you, they still use it today, but when they used to work the fields or pull a
in an ox wagon or something, they would have oxen yoked together with a wooden thing that lies across the shoulders. And it works like this. It's got these pegs, that these things that go down to press against the shoulders. And then there's a thing that comes across like this, and then also down there. And then two oxen would be yoked together. And how they would do it, I haven't read the rest of the scripture. Sorry, come here. So he says, I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. This is where the rest is, not in vegging in front of the TV. The rest is here. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So what they used to do is the old ox, the experienced one, the one that knows how it works, they would put him together with the young one. So you can decide who's who in this illustration. And because the young oxen, it'll be like this. Okay, so now we are yoked. So from this angle, you can see who's the young one. Okay. So the young one wants to go do his own thing, right? So he's going to try there. But the big, heavy... More experienced oxen is going to say, no, listen, this is the direction we're going in. Yeah. That's the weight. This is the burden we are pulling. That is our job. This is our purpose. That is our destination. And this is where we're going. And then they walk together. Okay? So, thanks very much. Let's give him a hand, guys. Well done. It's such a powerful picture because Jesus says, if you are weary and heavy laden, come to me. I want to give you rest. And then we think, yes, Mauritius, beach, you know, vegging somewhere. And that's great. That's amazing for some places. I always laugh at this story of Reinhard Bonnke, great German evangelist, seen hundreds of millions of people saved. He says he did go on holiday once with his wife. And they were sitting on the beach, and it was amazing, and chilled and everything, and they were really relaxing. And then, I think it was the second day, he said to her, listen, Annie, or I don't know how he pronounces the name, he says, let us go. Africa needs to be saved. And then they cut the holiday short, and they were on. So, we think beach and rest and veg, but Jesus says, I want to give you rest. And he qualifies that. He says, take my yoke. Come to me. Take my yoke. Get rid of the other yokes, in other words. Okay? Lots of other yokes. Lots of other heavy stuff. Get rid of that stuff. Come and take my yoke. And learn from me. In other words, let me show you where I'm headed. Let me show you where I'm going. Let me show you what is the weight that I'm... What is the thing that I'm pursuing? What is the burden? What is the mission that I'm on? Jesus says, take that, and that is the place where you will find rest for your soul. Yoke with me and learn from me. Guys, I want to be there. Yoking is a close thing. Did you see? We were like, yeah, together. It's an intimate place. And Jesus invites us to that place. He says, if you are weary, if you are heavy laden, come to me. Take my yoke and learn from me. It's an invitation to be intimate with him, to be close. Right here next to his ear, next to his mouth. When he turns here, we can hear him. It's close. It's intimate. He says, this is where we're going. This is what I'm doing. I want you to learn from me. I want you to see what I... Look at how I'm walking. Get in step with me. Let's walk at the same pace. I'm not going to change my pace. You need to change your pace. I'm not going to change my direction. If you're going to be in this yoke, you've got to be walking with me. Amen. That is where we find rest for our souls. Hallelujah. Get rid of the other yokes. Get rid of the other weights. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not insignificant, this burden and this yoke. Are you with me? It's
It's just because we are with Christ, there's a supernatural empowerment. The yoke of Christ, the destiny, the purposes of God is not something trivial. It's not easy and light like that. It's because we yoke with Him that it becomes manageable. It becomes doable with His grace and His empowerment and His strength. We yoke with Him. Amen. And that's where we find rest. Okay. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Great cloud of witnesses. He writes it to the Hebrews here. He encourages us. He says, lay aside every weight. Get rid of the weights. Get rid of the snares. This is not a word for the gymmers. Maybe it is. Guys with the weights, okay? You guys are a bit slow this evening. All right, so these CrossFit guys, yeah. I don't know why you must be cross to exercise. I didn't get that, but I want to be joyful when I exercise. But it's such a picture of if you've run a race, I remember back in the day when we were doing induction phase, going to the officers course for the army, for the Air Force, then what they do is it's a common thing, they do it a lot in different parts of different armed forces. Some of you will see, have seen it on movies and stuff. They take 24 or 36 hours, in some cases a bit longer, and they just throw everything at you that they can think of physically and mentally, and they see what happens. Just kind of push all your buttons and see what happens. And obviously they're trying to make you crack and they're trying to make you say, okay, I don't want to be here, I want to go home. And then often, obviously, people do that. But, you know, if you've been running with the full pack, full kit, the first 10 minutes or so, it's fine, but you recognize it's different to running just with your Nike, whatever your 10-gram Nike trainers, okay? It's different. And it's such a great picture, this, for me, because we're running the race of life. And he says, throw off the weights and run with endurance. It's no fun running that kind of distance with all those weights. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. The sin that wants to bind us, that wants to ensnare us, that wants to keep us bound to our past, wants to keep us bound, unable to run with what God wants us to do, unable to flourish in what God wants us to, because we are bound and we are ensnared. He says, lay aside the weights, everything that ensnares us, and run with endurance. So he's not saying it's going to be a party all the time. He's not saying it's going to be just easy. He says there's going to be endurance needed. There's going to be trials. There's going to be uphills and great downhills as well. But throw off the weights. Amen. I was doing one of those cool hikes that I was talking about earlier. And it was actually one of those where we overdid it a bit with the weight of the packs because there was no water on the trail. So it makes it a bit tricky because you have to carry your water for 5 days. I think that one was 4. Anyway, so just like day one, I think it should have been a clue that we lost the trail because it was so rarely used for a reason. In any case, So we lost the trail on this one part, and we got all spread out trying to get down this mountain. And this is all everything you shouldn't do when you're hiking. Anyway, so we got all spread out, doing our own thing, finding our own route down the hill. And I found myself in a bit of a thick underbrush situation, which turned into a thorn bush situation. Okay, now I've got this hugely, way too heavy pack, 30-something kgs on my back. And the further I've kind of wrestled through this bush, the more stuck I get. And guys, you know, in the comics you see stuff like this, or in the animations, and it's funny. But in that situation, it's only funny to a certain extent, and you realize this is really happening. You know, I'm really getting stuck in a bush of thorns. But the Lord reminds me of that picture often, because that is how that entanglement, that ensnarement happens, as we wrestling our way through life. We've lost the plot a little bit. We've lost the trail a little bit. We're finding ourselves in the underbrush. We've got this heavy weight. And the more we wrestle, the more stuck we get, to a place where I couldn't move, honestly. I was like, okay, now I'm no longer moving forward. Now I'm now static. Luckily I had this Swiss Army knife thing, and I was able to free myself from the entanglement of the world. Hallelujah. But that is, for me, that's how it works. You know, we're wrestling. We kind of just so kind of going through life. We lost the path. We're in the underbrush. And the more you wrestle in your own strength, the more stuck you get. I feel that's a word for somebody this evening. You're so tired. You're just wrestling. And you feel like you're going nowhere. And the more you wrestle in your own strength, the more you strive to get loose, the more entangled you get. And I feel God says, I've got grace for you, my son, my daughter. I've got grace for you to deliver you from that, to get you back on the path that I have prepared. Lay aside the weights and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Are you with me? I want us to spend some time praying. So if you want to stand with me this evening, some of the band people, please.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363. Email us, pretoria@shofaronline.org. Browse our website, www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.